Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
And we're joined, as we are every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, to kick things off, our good friend Madison Rafter, Executive Director of the Southwood County Humane Society. Pet of the Week time, everybody.
Good morning,
Madison. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Appreciate you being in today. Always nice to see you in studio with us.
Thanks for having me.
Who is our pet of the week this week?
So we have two. We are doing a bonded pair this week. We have Tia and Tamara. These are two, I had guessing best opinion and breed is going to be lab mixes. They came into us as strays, and they are a bonded pair. Tamara is a six-year-old. She looks like a chocolate lab. And then we have Tia, who looks like a Catahoula lab mix. She's really pretty Meryl coloring. Couldn't tell you what she is, but they are our bonded pair girls. They came in as strays and were not picked up, and we did try to separate just to see if they would do well being separated, and they did not do well being separated.
Answer was no.
They are definitely very bonded to each other, very attached. Both girls are very sweet. They love other dogs, have done really well with all staff members. They tend to be a little shy at first, but once they warm up, they're just your best friend. They want to be all over you. They want to be cuddling. Their only, I guess, flaw, you could say, is they are severely overweight. They definitely need to lose another 10, 15 pounds. Very chunky girls, and we just want to make sure that there's no health issues arising.
Yeah. is there kind of, if people are, if people are adopting, are you looking for people to adopt both of them?
Yes, they are a bonded pair, so they do have to go together.
Right.
Yep.
When it comes to that, and we say somebody is able to take them both in, are you able to give tips or exercise ideas in that?
Yep.
Is it just a food thing that you got to cut back on?
It's kind of a mixture of both. So similar to people, it's kind of a mixture of both. It's diet and it's exercise with both of those. Here in the shelter environment, we at least start with the diet portion of it to try to start with that, and then we work on the exercising part. So we work on their, we're working on a little bit of smaller potions. We're not starving them. We're cutting down the food to the aspect of this is what's going to be a good diet for you. They're also on weight loss food as well, so that helps a little bit too with that. And then we do work on trying to get them out extra just for extra walks and exercise just so that they're losing a couple of those pounds. So.
I think that for a lot of pet owners that the idea of the chunky cat, that the dog with the pudge, it's kind of cute and sweet, but there is health concerns when it comes to letting our animals be too big.
Definitely. It's definitely, like, I don't judge people for the aspect of their animals are bigger. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Sometimes that comes down to the fact of, like, genetics. When you spay and neuter animals, sometimes that weight gain can come from that. Sometimes it could just be the aspect of they are being overfed, or maybe they're not getting that exercise. It kind of comes down to a lot of different things. The biggest concern, especially, is you don't want them too overweight. Like, they could be at a healthy weight and still look a little chunky, but when they're getting to the point where they're so fat that they can't get up, they can't move, there's going to be a lot of issues with joint issues because they're so overweight that their joints are going to hurt a lot more, so you're going to need joint supplements, different things like that. So there definitely are health risks with the aspect of being overweight with your pets, and yes, they're cute and fuzzy and fat, but it's also, hey, you know, this could also be a health risk later on down the line.
Garfield makes a good cartoon, not a real cat.
But, you know, who feeds their cat lasagna?
In real life. I mean, of course he was going to get big.
Wouldn't surprise me.
As far as the type of family or the type of person that would be a perfect fit for these guys, who are we thinking here?
Yeah, any family that is interested in wanting to just start with, like, a dog, these two would be really good to be a good starter. Like, they do well with kids, just would not recommend really, really young kids, as they are very big girls and have a lot of energy, so we don't want them knocking little kids over, just being too much in their face. But any family that's looking for a good bonded pair of girls, they're very sweet, they're very lovable girls. They probably came from a family home as well at some point. We just don't know their history, so
We're going to find them a good home.
Yep.
That's the whole point of this. So we're going to find them a good home. I wanted to talk to you about some of the events coming up, but real quick to rewind for a second, how was Aquatic Days?
Aquatic Days was a blast. I don't know the total number of dogs that we had, but I do know we had more people than we did dogs at one point, because we did have some site viewers that wanted to come just watch dogs come romp around.
Yeah.
So it definitely was a really great day. We had lots of donations come in, and every dog left tired. They were so happy. They had an absolute blast. And one of our staff members brought his dog, and he was just pooped by the end of the day.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
So Rockin' the Shelter coming up September 9th. Looking forward to this. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
Yeah. So we have one of our volunteers that is hosting this as an outside fundraiser. With this event, they are doing rock painting. So they have the Rockin' for Rapids, I believe, lady that is coming out to do rock painting. They are doing kids games. They are doing raffle baskets. So it's a really fun family kids activity a day. And we're very excited to see how that goes. They did that last year. And luckily, it was a great event last year. Fantastic time. I know that it did get rained on last year, so they were very bummed about that. So this year they do have it in a covered area, so they're very excited for it.
That is going to be a really cool event. Looking forward to that. And you guys have a 5K9 walk run coming up as well.
Yes, we do. We have our annual 5K9 walk run. We did move the date this year. It used to be in the spring, but we decided to move it to fall just because there's so many events going on always at every time. And you know what? In the hot spring, you know what? Sometimes that's too much on some of our animals. So we're giving it a shot for the fall, seeing how it goes, and we're really excited for it.
Very cool. Madison, before you go, I did want to run this by you because the city of Wisconsin Rapids, of course, looking for names for their new dog park. Have you submitted any names or any of the staff?
I have not. Okay. I know a couple of my staff members have. I'm still brainstorming a little bit. I've got a couple days left, so I'm like, we got to come up with a really good one.
So I'm doing the same thing. And next week, I'm going to bring them up and I'm going to let the audience, because I got like three of them, and I'm going to let the audience decide which one I submit. Next Thursday when we get together, it's our last Thursday before this wraps up. So I want to get that name for me next Thursday.
I'll
pressure. Pressure's on.
All right.
Madison, if people want to know more about these two awesome furry little guys that are our Pet of the Week this week or any of the great animals over there at the shelter, how can they find out more?
Yeah, they can check out our website at swchs.com. All of our adoptable animals are on there. If there's any questions, you're more than welcome to shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com. Or you can give us a call over at the shelter at 715-423-0505.
It is such a joy having you here every week. We appreciate you, Madison. Say hi to the team over there, and you guys keep up the great work, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you for having me.
And real quick, I did want to get that out, get this note out there again. There was an accident on Eastbound Lane on the Riverview Expressway Bridge. It is down to one lane, so you may wish to avoid the bridge if you are going east. Keep that in mind, everybody. Take a break and come back with some entertainment news on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Around your world, pretty baby, is it everything you hoped it'd be? The wrong guy, the wrong situation, the right time to roll to me.
Terry and James hanging out with you this morning. A big shout out to our great friend Madison Rafter, Executive Director of your Southwood County Humane Society. That was fun.
That was awesome. Sounds like a great pair of dogs, too.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. I encourage people to check that out. You can find out more by going to their website, swchs.com. Be sure to check that out. Let's dive into a little bit of entertainment news now, Terry. If there's one thing a true, I hate saying Swifty. If there's one thing a true Taylor Swift fan would never do, it's cause injury or distress to a cat, right? Well, actually, that is not completely true. There is a new TikTok challenge among Taylor Swift fans where they hold their cat under its front legs and with their camera pointed at the animal, then spin it around in a circle to the tune of Taylor's August. They have already been over 150,000 some videos of this insanity, mostly with cats, but people also do it with dogs, and it is not a good idea, people.
No, it's stupid, but you know, I'm just going to say, about 90% of everything I've seen off of TikTok is stupid.
Okay, I'm not going to push back on that, but I don't want to blame the device for people being stupid.
It's not the device, it's the people.
It's the people on the device.
Absolutely.
So TikTok to me is not stupid because I've been on there and I've seen like people give like the history of the world in 2 minutes and things like that. I've seen so many cool life hacks.
Well, yeah, I said 90% of what I've seen on TikTok is stupid.
But I want people to take more responsibility for their actions, and it's people doing this.
Absolutely. Any app. There's no app that puts its own information out there. People have to put it there.
The Cats Protection Animal Charity issued a statement saying, quote, "At no point should an animal deliberately be put in a position to feel fear, anxiety, frustration, or experience pain of any kind." What I'm looking for here is this has been going on long enough. Why hasn't she said something? I mean,
well, how do you know you don't know she hasn't?
I know she hasn't because I researched it beforehand and she hasn't.
Every time I come here, you want to argue about Taylor Swift.
Do I?
Let's not argue about Taylor Swift.
I don't mean to do that. Oh, I love
I'm not even
I
a big Taylor
do.
Swift fan. No, but we don't know that she hasn't. I mean,
well, I'm guessing Tide
said, don't put our products in your mouth, and people still were putting them in their mouth. So, right. I mean,
but
I don't know. I don't think the onus is on the artist.
I wouldn't say the onus is on her. I would say that if I was her, I would be. I would want to. To what she chooses to do is her own business. But
maybe,
if it was
yeah,
me doing...
I have no idea.
If people were doing something like this in my name to my song, I would take offense to that.
It's just weird.
It is
I don't. This is a
weird.
This is a that ain't right story in general.
Yeah,
like, why would
yeah.
you...
But
I don't care whose song it's to. Why would you hurt animals?
You bring up the Tide Pods thing, though, and that, just like us talking about that, we got to talk about these things, so hopefully we bring awareness to it and people stop doing it.
Yeah. It's...
Who could bring more awareness to it than her?
Potentially.
You know, so...
I mean, potentially. I don't know. This is weird.
To me...
I don't get why people do anything. And these are with their own pets. That's the other thing.
They've run out of ideas.
It's supposed to be... But I mean...
They went from the plank challenge to this because they've run out of ideas. Now they've just got to come up with the silliest darn things to try to start a trend and all
Pets
this.
Pets are part of your family. I just think that part of it is...
You do to your baby brother or sister. You shouldn't do it to your cat or dog. Maybe you might. Yeah, you're right. Maybe you might. I might have
You should not. No, do not. Should.
Do
not.
Not
harm your family members.
Do not. And leave animals alone, people. Animals have
no... I don't even get that.
Animals have no interest in our social media. Okay?
They don't want to be on your video.
Alone.
I know. It's just stupid. Like, I don't know.
I will admit this first and foremost. There are probably more pictures of my fur brother, Sam, than there are me on the internet. So I'm not saying don't take it.
No. But none of them are Sam in distress.
Right.
Or
right,
you harming right. him or sicking your bunny after him.
And let me. Yeah. Right on. Nicely. Nice. Inside joke.
I mean,
right?
How does that go?
Right. I want to say this, too, especially because of what you brought up beforehand. I have no feelings about Taylor Swift one way or the other.
I think you do.
I'm pretty positive I don't. I think I know what's in my own head and heart. What I do want to say is this. I don't think this is cool for her. I don't think that if you're a real fan of hers.
Oh, negative for her PR.
And she shouldn't be taking the brunt of that. She didn't do any of this, but she is, and I don't think that's fair.
I agree.
I think if you're a fan of hers, I would catch that and be like, oh, no, I don't want to give Taylor
like, why
a
why is this? Yeah, I agree.
That kind of stuff needs to stop, too, where we're putting an onus on celebrities that they have no control over. That ain't right either.
Yeah.
Chris Evans is doing something kind of cool. National Dog Day is Saturday, so to get ready for the occasion, Dog Dad and Captain America, Chris Evans, made a surprise visit to a shelter in New York City called Animal Haven to promote adoption.
That's cool.
Yeah, he just showed up. He kind of gave him a heads up and everything, and then he got there.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Like, with Madison just being here, what if somebody just stopped? You know, some big celebrity was like, oh, hey, I flew in to go golfing, but I'm going to stop here and raise money for your organization first. That's cool.
He says, quote, there are literally thousands of dogs waiting to be adopted all across the country, just like my dog, Dodger. Chris gave the shelter dogs lots of treats from premium dog food brand Jinx. They also got belly rubs from them. National Dog Day. For National Dog Day, Jinx is increasing their give back donations to 5% on online orders through the end of the month. Also, those who adopt a dog from Animal Haven by the end of the month, Jinx will provide a full year of food and treats.
Really?
That's
awesome.
Wow, is that a promotion?
That's very cool.
That is really cool.
And treats.
Yeah, I like that the treats was thrown
in. That's the good one.
I'm a fan. I like Chris Evans.
Oh, I do too.
I admit that.
No,
right
I like Chris Evans.
This is a guy who does the. This is not. He's the type of guy like. So Johnny Depp, during the filming of Pirates of the Caribbean, with all those movies, wherever they were filming, he would just show up at children's hospitals and cancer.
I remember you
and
saying
stuff.
That. You know, at a different time when we were talking. Isn't that cool?
It's so cool. Like, and he would do this stuff and obviously give them a heads up. But that was it. He didn't call his manager. He didn't call his publicist and ask for the news team to be down there. Chris Evans it almost does it more than him. And during like the Captain America movies, he actually got in trouble with Kevin Feige and Marvel. Because he wasn't supposed to share like the new costume, but he was so excited that they could fit him in. That they, you know, obviously hospitals only have so much time that you can see people. They film at night most of the time, so he had like an hour to get in there. He didn't have time to change out a costume, so he just showed up in costume.
Isn't that cool?
And those kids at that cancer ward got to see that outfit before anybody else got to see it. Like that's
both
pretty cool.
Him and you know, you're talking about Johnny Depp and whoever else. But I, you know, it's also just maybe it's just kind of that like. hey, I'm just a regular, you know, I'm just still a regular guy. Like, I still care about all the same things you care about in community, you know, in my community or communities that I'm in. So, yeah, that's awesome. But I love that costume thing. He probably did take some heat for that.
I thought that was pretty cool. We are an audio medium, so we try not to do this too often, but I can't help myself with this next one, Terry. There is a one of the classic gags from Seinfeld was Elaine's horrible dancing. I love it. It's one of my favorite things about in TV history. It's one of my favorite things is her dancing. Well, a minor league baseball team called the Brooklyn Cyclones holds an annual Elaine dancing contest, and this year's competition just went down, and if you've never seen it, you have to. In addition to the actual dancing, some contestants dress up as well, and they so I think this is just video of her dancing. Okay, it's just video highlights of Elaine dancing. But if you get a chance, you can find the videos online.
I do encourage people to check it out. The team dancing?
Yes, of all these Elaines dancing horribly. It is one of the funnier things you will see today. I encourage people to check that out. It is awesome. It's hilarious.
And what an original idea.
Yeah, I like it. Nobody does these kind of ideas better than minor league baseball teams. I don't know what it is, but their promotions markets, including our own Rafters, are the kings and queens at this. They're so good at
it. That's a great idea.
We will take a break right here. We're going to do some dancing like nobody's watching while we're in the commercial break, and we'll come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. It was a beautiful day, sun beat down. I heard the radio walk, I was driving. I got to let that play a little bit. Yeah. I'm sorry. My favorite Tom Petty song. So good. Such a good song. Great music video, too.
And so just, I don't know. It just flashes me right back to summer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is a summer song.
Something summery about it.
Good call. We're going to get into an interesting one here, Terry. And if you haven't noticed the theme this hour with our pet of the week and everything, we've been talking a bit animals this hour. So we got a good one here. If you think you're the best, most well-informed pet parent ever, this might take you down a peg. A poll found 92% of cat and dog owners still believe at least one common myth about their pet. And here are the top myths we believe.
I just am having a premonition that cats having nine lives might show up on there. That they do really die. So take good care of them.
Yeah. Anytime we see in the 80s or 90s for one of these polls, it's impressive to me. You can't get people to agree on bread.
True.
But you see like 92% of the vote on this one. So here we go. Dog myth number one. Wagging their tail always means they're happy. It can also mean that they're just interested in something or feeling extra alert. 68% believe that one, though.
So it doesn't always mean they're happy
to
see you?
Does not always mean that. We are so fortunate as not only human beings, but just language speakers. I look at my people, my Italians, where there are literally like 17 different ways to say hello. There are 22 or 23 different words in the Italian language for love. We have so many ways to express ourselves. We have handshakes, we have waves, we have all this. Dogs and cats have like one or two ways to express
themselves.
They get
themselves. Their voice and their eyes and their tail.
Yeah, it's about it. And so it's not too surprising to hear this, but I don't think it's common knowledge. And I think a lot of us, to no fault of our own, think this.
I do think, though, like when I think about our dog, when he is happy, though, the tail is always going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see how people kind of think that.
Oh, yeah. Sam is a big tail wagger, big time. But he's also, like, if he sees a squirrel or he thinks he sees a squirrel in the yard or something like that, that tail's going as well.
Oh, sure. But isn't that because he's happy? Because he's going to catch that squirrel.
It could be. Yeah. dog myth number two. A wet nose means they're healthy. It actually isn't a good indicator of health, and neither is the temperature of their nose. It could just be wet because dogs tend to lick their nose a lot. 38% believe that one. That's an interesting one.
That is interesting.
I don't know that I've heard that too many times, but I mean, that might be an older one, too.
I've heard it, but not like commonly. You know what I mean? Like, I don't...
Yeah, and I don't know many people
that they should have a wet nose.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know many people that would use that as a barometer of their animal. I think we've kind of grown out of that one, at least. The first one I kind of see, but that second one there.
I mean, we've kind of taught our dogs to stop licking their boogers.
Yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. That's good. That's
not
good.
Really.
No, no. But that what a great trick that would be to be able to get your dog to not do that. Cat myth number one. Cats can see in total darkness. They can definitely see in low light better than we can, but they can't see if it's pitch black. 42% believe that they could. I guess I just kind of assume that they could see in light, but no, not many animals in the world can see in complete darkness.
I guess I've never thought that they can't, though. So I'm thinking of, we've had cats before. We had cats when I was a kid, and, you know, they're, like, up and walking around at night, and, you know, like, yeah. I guess I've never really thought about it, or not thought that they can't do it, but... I don't know.
I will say, you know, especially when I was living in Nakusa, it seemed like I seemed to see stray cats more. I'm not saying that there are more there than any other places.
I hear what,
just happened to. Maybe more open space. I don't know. But I would be, like, I worked at the gas station back then, and I'd be walking home at night to my apartment, and that's when I would usually see them. And they seemed to see perfectly fine in the dark, better than I could even. I'd trip over something that they
would. If you would have trained one of them to lead you home.
I should have figured that out. I should have figured that
couple
out.
Treats probably could have got you there.
Could have got me there. And cat myth number two. Cats always land on their feet. Oh, come on. Who's believing that?
But I've heard that million times.
Yeah, 41% of people believe that one, but it's not always true. If your cat is older, overweight, or not in the best health, they might not have the best reaction time anymore. But... that's just if those outside factors.
I was going to say, that's implying that they do, right?
Yes, yes. So this is actually going the other way for me on this. I never thought that there was actually any evidence to that. I thought it was a cartoon thing. I'm being completely honest here. But now seeing this, I'm seeing that there is actual fact to it. It's just if there's these outliers, then it's not going
to
happen.
So for our, in our house, when you go upstairs to the second story, you know, it's like an open railing. Mm-hmm. And the cat that we used to have would always walk on the step side, not on the other side, you know, because there was like a little ledge.
Yeah.
And one time lost its footing and fell and did not land on its feet.
Interesting.
And that was like the first, we're like, oh, so they don't land on their feet when they fall down like four steps. You know what I mean? Like that equivalence of distance. But I was like, oh.
And finally on here, every cat would like you to know they do not have 9 lives. Don't test that one, everybody. Treat your animals well.
Where do you think that ever came from?
We're looking that
up. Yeah, we might have to look that up. Because, I mean, there's even cat food called that, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's just kind of, it's kind of crazy. And I've always remember hearing that. Or it would be on cartoons even.
Yes.
You know, where they'd,
We're looking that one up. We will have an answer for you with that one because I think it comes from my people a little bit, actually.
Oh, really?
I think so. That one's coming up for you, and we're going to have coming up for you after Melissa's news. You know, we always have thought another kind of myth that we've thought that dogs are man's best friend. Turns out it might be women's best friend.
Oh, you guys have the cats.
That's coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Little Black Crows and Good Friday coming in on a Thursday for us to play us into the break.
I was going
to
ask you what that was.
Yeah, it's my favorite Black Crow song, actually. It's a really good song. Terry and James here with you. I hope you're having a great, great Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. We've got some good stuff coming up for you. And before we dive into this, I wanted to get into where that 9 lives myth
comes where does
from
that
there.
Come from?
We love to relate feline lore all the way back to ancient Egyptians. Who revered and even worshipped cats. A common great creation from myth comes from this one, actually from that time.
Okay.
So the sun god Ra took the shape of the great tomcat, or Mao, during his visits to the underworld, engaging 8 other gods, thus representing 9 lives in one.
And it has stuck this, I mean, because you hear that all the time, cats have 9 lives.
But I would never, even as a literal Egyptian, I would never have guessed that. That is crazy to me. That is really cool.
That's pretty cool.
That is wild to me.
Huh. But, newsflash, they don't.
They don't. Have 9 lives. They don't. Let us repeat. They do not.
Do not try this at home.
They say dogs are man's best friend, but are they really women's best friend? A new study found they're more likely to listen to and follow instructions from women, and the reason is baby talk. Weird.
Really?
Yeah. Researchers scanned dogs' brains while they played audio of people talking to dogs, to babies, and to other adults. It turned out the dogs' brains lit up much more when they heard speech directed at dogs and babies, and especially when it was a woman talking.
You know, now that you say that, I do talk different to the dog. I don't know if it's baby talk, but it is different.
Yeah, I think they might be using babe talk as just kind of an overall term, kind of like that.
Huh.
The results show dogs prefer baby talk and don't respond as much when you're just talking in a normal voice. But why do they prefer the ladies? Probably because they're smart. No, probably because women are more likely to speak to them in that sing-song way. Their voices are higher, so they're better at it.
Huh.
This part's interesting, too. They say there's no evolutionary reason for dogs to prefer baby talk since it's not a tonal pattern that they use with each other. So they think it's something they learned from us. We've talked to them like that so long, it's just that they're used to it now.
Yeah.
This goes back to, and again, I think the most, I think you can make the argument the most adaptable animal on the planet is the dog.
I would think. But yeah, I don't know. This is interesting to me. Like, I can see that that's like at our house. I mean, I think, well, I'm honestly, I think at the end of the day, if Rex had to pick Randy or I, he'd pick Randy.
Yeah.
But they also spend a way more time together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I mean, I think that that's part of it. But I do that like sing-songy voice with him.
You almost can't. Like, I never did this with my kids or my brother and sister. I didn't do the baby talk thing.
No, we didn't either.
With dogs, I do.
We
yes,
didn't
I,
with
I
our kids either. But, not, yeah. you know, and it would not have even been on my radar at but, all yeah. until you just said that.
But not the baby talk, the sing song thing. I do that, the rhythm talking or the, you know, hiring up some yep. certain words and stuff. Now, I don't think I've ever done baby talk with anything really, other but. That this is very interesting.
It
to
is
me.
Interesting. I thought, honestly, before you said what the story was, I thought it was going to be because women carry their little dogs in their purse,
oh,
so they
yeah.
get carried around.
Yeah,
yeah. Who does that?
Yeah, I don't. I never understood that.
Who has a purse that? Well, my dog is like 70 pounds, so I definitely yeah. don't have a purse that big.
I can't imagine that purse being very good afterwards or having a lot of other uses afterwards. I can't imagine.
The dogs that get carried around in purses probably wear little doggy underwear, so.
So this is a pretty interesting thing here. 424-2600. I'm curious, especially in households where both people are there, a man, woman, are in the house. Do you find that your dog tends to listen to one over the other? I think with our house, and I go back, and we've only had a handful of dogs in the time that I've been with my parents, growing up with my parents, or even being there at the house now, or something like that. We've only had two or three dogs, but every one of those dogs. There's one alpha in the house, and it's my mom. Like, they'll listen to my dad and I and everything, but it's not even a question.
But
as soon as my mom is in the house, that dog is shadowing that.
But that's not really about the dog, right? Like, she's in charge of all.
Kind of that.
Everybody in the house, regardless.
Yeah, yeah. They're just smart animals.
We know who's in charge.
Yeah, they just pick up on it right away. It's a pretty fair point by you, yeah.
Very intuitive.
Yeah, I don't believe my mom and dad ever had to tell me who was in charge. I gotta just figure it out. I gotta figure
it's
it out. Like, even my dad, like, Jimmy, go to your mother. We will take a break. I didn't grow
or a duck
yes,
or a lookout.
Yes. Did you grow up with me?
No.
That's exactly what happened. Taking a break, coming back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show on WFHR.
We call them cool. Those hearts that have no scars to show, the ones that never do let go and risk the tables being turned.
Nice to have a little of this over here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to love our Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Well, and if you're going to have an artist, and there's a couple of them, but if you're going to have an artist that can definitely be played on both stations, this man is definitely one of them. Good song.
But you've got to be tough when consumed by desire. Cause it's not enough just to stand outside the fire.
And we're back. I had to let that play, though.
That's a great one.
That's a good one. It was a good one. And it just plays too well into our next topic, Terry. We're talking Frozen. Huh? Huh? I saved this one for you. No, inside joke here for the audience. Terry has been on me for years to see the movie Frozen. I finally did see bits and pieces. I did see pretty much the movie now. So I've caught up.
Now that it's like 13 years old.
Yeah. way behind on that one. But I got to say real quickly, that is a cute movie.
It's like, a great movie.
If I had little ones, I'd definitely be playing that one
it's
for
It's a great
That's
movie.
That's a good movie. I really was taken back by how cool and how good they've gotten with kids' movies, I think.
It's ironic that you saved this because literally last night I was talking about this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just kind of funny. I mean, nothing in particular, but we were just talking about it. So I was like, oh, interesting.
Disney is turning Frozen into a podcast about climate change. It's called Frozen, Forces of Nature, and the story will take place after the events of Frozen 2, with Anna and Elsa finding copper machines in the Enchanted Forest that are upending the natural order of things. Ginger Z, the chief meteorologist for ABC News, will be the voice presenter. Not sure what that means. There's no word if Kristen Bell and Idie Menzel and Josh Gad or any of the other cast from the movie are going to be a part of this because of the strike, but it does look like... So they can't say that they would do this. That is against the strike.
Yep.
But wink, wink, nudge, nudge, they're more
it's
than likely. It's very, very likely. In part because these three people love playing these characters. They will work around their schedules to do these roles.
Yeah, because, well, they're super sweet. But I heard a little bit about this also. Not maybe as much detail as what you shared, but that it was kind of coming. But I don't know if you've seen any of the other like Disney kind of documentaries. Like they have one like on whales and you know, different animals and stuff. But I'm thinking Ginger Z is going to be like the maybe like kind of like the narrator of it.
It sounds like
and that's pretty cool. I was not ever familiar with her because I don't watch the morning TV.
Yeah.
But she actually did Dancing with the Stars one year, and she is a really cool lady. It's I think it'll be a nice add, and especially since she does weather. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into a debate with anybody about climate change. I'm done. If you feel a certain way about it at this point in time, no facts or data I send to you is going to change your mind.
Right.
What I do care about is what young people think. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of encouraging young people to do more research on this and look into this subject more. I love the idea, too, of, hey, here's some information. Take it or leave it.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not trying to tell you. We're not talking down to you. We're not trying to tell you what to do. I think while it was good intended, when the beginning of the green talk started, wokeism, when that first started, it came from a good place. And I think a place that most 90-some% of the public can get behind. But there ain't a darn person in human history that has ever appreciated being talked down to or the made feel sillier or dumb or that they're not intelligent enough for the subject that's being talked about or these kind of things. And I think that's where a lot of the pushback came from. Is it, well, how dare you use this, and this? Don't you know what you're doing to the planet? Blah, 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 blah. That nobody reacts to that well.
You're not going to get out of that what you're hoping for.
No,
ever.
No.
So this, I think that this is cool. You know, sets the stage, right? In voices that kids are familiar with. Yeah. And honestly, think about that though. Kids who were little when Frozen came out, they're like in their teens.
Right.
So it's a good good time. You know what I mean? Like that's who they kind of know and are relating to. So, and if nothing else, it encourages do your research, learn. You know what I mean? Like or use what you learn here to speak intelligently about what you want to share.
I think it's interesting about kids' entertainment these days, where so much of it is looking to grow with the audience. It used to be once you turn a certain age, you stop watching Mickey Mouse,
or you just didn't watch Captain Kangaroo anymore.
Right, right. And now I don't know if Captain Kangaroo came out now, it might be where it's following the generations.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Yeah. I think that's kind of cool. And heck, if this gets even one kid to pay attention and be interested, I'm all for it. That's awesome.
That's cool. Sounds like an awesome group doing that.
It's a very cool idea. I like this. This next one, not so much. Not so much. We go to a that ain't right story here. There's a reason why pepper spray isn't allowed on planes. Okay? There's a lot of reasons.
Oh, my goodness.
We got a big one right here. An American Airlines flight from Miami to New York made an emergency landing on Sunday after a passenger gassed the cabin with pepper spray.
On purpose?
It's unclear what happened, but some reports online say a female passenger mistook the pepper spray for hand lotion or sanitizer. Once the pepper spray got out, a lot of the passengers started coughing and complaining that their eyes were irritating and even they couldn't see. Naturally, the flight crew was confused, so they asked anyone who knew what was happening to come forward. A woman admitted to using pepper spray but claimed it was an accident. The flight was diverted to Jacksonville, and after it landed, the paramedics were brought in to deal with the passengers who were affected by the spray. Sounds like everyone will be okay. The woman and her family were escorted off the plane. Some people on board claimed that the spray was not an accident, that the woman was having some kind of altercation with another family across the aisle and sprayed them on purpose. That wasn't even proved. That was never proven, though. It hasn't been proven. There's no data on that. And I got to think nowadays, I'm almost inclined to lean towards it didn't. That's not what happened if there's no video footage of it, because nowadays everybody is so quick to start filming.
True. So the reality is it could have been a stupid exactly that, you know, like she was squirting it at somebody, which would be really dumb. I don't even know how she got on with that. Well, unless it was smaller than 3 ounces.
It's, yeah.
If it was just a little baby canister, then you probably could.
I guess, yeah.
But what I'm getting from this is like a Saturday Night Live skit, yes, right? Yes. Where she thinks it's lotion. So now she has rubbed that all over her hand. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? Her hands are burning and she's on, you know, I can see her like running through the cabin and then it's, yes, you know, yeah. I don't know.
It's just a great SNL
bit. It just
bit.
Sounds so like stupid.
I'm,
you know, like
I'm a little angry that it didn't come up with this for a Second City class, because that'd be a great bit. No one knows exactly how she got the pepper spray on the plane in the first place. You can have it in a checked bag as long as it meets TSA requirements, to Terry's point.
Yeah.
But it's not allowed on a carry-on cabin. So,
and I don't, yeah, because I don't think you can have any aerosol canisters.
No.
And I don't know. I mean, there certainly can be different grades of pepper spray, I'm guessing. Mm. I'm just saying, living with a police officer, like the spray is like an aerosol, you know, it's a pressurized like aerosol can. What I've had, you know, what I've seen, it's not like a pump.
Right.
Can you just stand still while I pump this at you a few times?
Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. We have a number of listeners in the Florida area. We send a shout out and a good morning to our friends near Miami and Fort Lauderdale and that. And as a public service announcement, I would like to give you this oddity story. Police in Florida City are warning members of the public about an unusual animal on the loose, a monkey. The Orange City Police Department said in a Facebook post that it has received multiple reports of a monkey on the loose in the city. Monkey on the loose.
Wouldn't it be kind of fun? I mean, you, of course, would want them to be safe, but wouldn't it be kind of funny to be like you walk out, you leave here, and there's like a monkey on the sidewalk?
Right there, yeah. I just don't even know what I would do. I don't even know what I would do.
I would try to get its attention.
Yeah, yeah. Police said the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has been informed of the sightings. The department warned residents not to attempt to capture the monkey. An employee at the Popeye's Eatery Enterprise Road in Orange City said she spotted the monkey outside the drive-thru window about 9:30 a.m. Quote, I look over and I'm like, is that real? This cannot be possible. The monkey's smart because he looked at the traffic and he knew not to go out that way.
See? Mm. And he was probably just hungry.
This monkey played Frogger. This monkey, I don't know.
That was my favorite video game. That
was such a good game. That was a great game. I love the actual arcade game more than the like handheld, the video game at
home. Yeah, we had an Atari.
Yeah.
And we didn't have Frogger, but like the kid who lived down the road had Frogger. Yeah. So sometimes we could swap for a day or two, you know, like that kind of thing.
That's some. I hope kids still do that.
I don't think they do.
No, I don't think so either. I agree. That was an awesome thing growing
like we
up.
Would, yeah, it was like, you know, we probably had like six.
Yeah.
And somebody else might have had a dozen, but you were like, could I just, you know, could we trade? And you traded. And you didn't trade for good. You borrowed to each other.
Until
you
beat the game or something like that. Oh, God, I miss those days. That was such a great time. Great times being had at our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Want to get an update with you, Terry, about how things are going over at the shop?
Yeah, we've got a lot of great things going on. Do want to give just a recap. So we did last weekend serve 914 students with backpacks full of school supplies. to get the school year started off on the right foot. And, you know, I certainly need to publicly call out Ben and Amy from our team at United Way, because they're, you know, coordinating the committee. We've got many community members that are part of that. But if you donated school supplies, if you were a business where people could drop off supplies, maybe you made a monetary donation, you volunteered, you helped distribute backpacks, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
Like it is just amazing. And to think about the fact that we can impact that many kids in such a, you know, really easy way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expensive, but it comes together pretty easily, and it's, you know, so many people, it makes it a light lift. So that's really awesome. you know, we have some fun. We put a press release out yesterday or, yeah, it was yesterday, with some fun stats, you know, like how many boxes of crayons and all of those cool things. So you can definitely check that out by visiting our website at uwswac.org. This week, we were also able to get all of, well, not all, but a good number of our campaign coordinators that work in companies that have United Way campaigns and bring them together and really do some sharing and learning about the programs that United Way helps to fund. So there's 30 programs in the community that we help provide program funding for. And then there's 10 initiatives that we as a United Way staff have in the community. And then there's also 6 coalitions. So really just spending some time with them and deepening their understanding so that when they're out talking to others, they can share that information. And then, of course, gearing up for our annual fundraising campaign. I mean, honestly, we are all about volunteerism and love that, but right now September is go time for us, and we're and it's about money. I mean, just you know, being honest, it's about how can we raise the dollars to be able to support those programs, and it's kind of fun. We put a big tough goal out in front of ourselves because we allocate the funds in April and May. Then we raise the funds in the fall. Yeah, so it's kind of like, hey, we've got to get to that number because and then the best part about it is January 1st, we start paying out those allocations. So we start writing checks to organizations to make sure that really, really vital programs in our community continue to be offered. Maybe they're growing. Maybe they've you know, sometimes it's the same program. Sometimes it's changed. But that's I think another really cool thing is that we're evaluating that on a regular basis. You know, how are needs in the community best being met? We also understand, I mean, we're not naive enough to think that we're meeting every need. And so we have an even greater need for support through funding to be able to make sure that as many of our community members who have a need now can be impacted. So, you know, in advance, I thank everyone for making, even just considering, you know, making a donation. But really, we just put a goal out there of $1 a week. And if you really think about that, you know, if you could spare $1 a week, $52 a year, but literally $1 a week, that makes such a huge impact on families, way more than you could ever imagine. You know, we put your $52 with Seth's, with Pam's, with, you know, and you group that all together, and all of a sudden you're providing food for a family for a whole year. And sometimes families need that long to get, you know, to get things turned around, to get things in order. Eviction prevention. You know, if somebody maybe is going to be evicted and they need help with a month's rent to get things back on track. Maybe they're between jobs, whatever the case would be. Again, that $1 a week when it's pooled with somebody else's, it's just tremendous how much that impact makes.
It's the same thing we talk about quite a bit. Not everybody can cure polio, but everybody could do something like this. And if everybody does, we all chain that together. And before you know it, you've got one of the strongest links, one of the strongest chains there is. And our community is really good about this. Encourage people to look into donating. It can be taken out of your check. You don't even notice it, especially if it's $1 or something like that.
Yes.
You notice Uncle Sam doing it more than this. And this, you really know, you see the literal impact every day in this town. You can't, if you leave your house, chances are you're gonna see the impact the United Way makes in your community.
Well, and we were talking pumpkin spice latte before, right? Have one less per week, and that'll probably pay for your whole month.
There you go. Yeah.
Your dollar a week for a whole month.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Be sure to check out the United Way and find out more at uwswac.org. Be sure to check out the farmers market today, going on until 2 o'clock over First Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Goggin Street. And lunch by the river coming up. We only got a couple more of these left, everybody.
Yeah, just two, huh?
11:30 to 1 today. Check out the lunch by the river over at the over at Veterans Memorial Park. Check us out at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. We'll meet you there. Mention you heard about us talking about it on the station. Get yourself a free shirt if you're one of the first 10 people.
That sounds awesome.
Get on down there, everybody. We'll meet you there. And have a great day, everyone. Terry, have a good one.
You too.
And we'll have more mornings with WFHR tomorrow right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.